Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Hey, today we are in the final session, part 8 of a series that is titled, How the Called Become the Chosen. The title of our series, How the Called Become the Chosen, is taken from Jesus' teaching as to why some fulfill their calling, they enter into God's fruitfulness for their life, and some don't. It's based on the verse, Matthew 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, you as a ministry leader, you have watched scores of people who have either fulfilled the call or not fulfilled the call, and your results, your perspective, is probably similar to the emphasis of Jesus. Many are called, few are chosen. There are many things that God wants to fulfill in terms of an individual's destiny for Him, and yet it seems that only few fulfill that. Matthew 22, where this verse of Scripture comes from, many are called, few are chosen, talks about four kinds of people. We've already discussed this in the series. Many choose to ignore the call. Many choose to excuse the call for something else in the moment. Many choose to resist the call. It doesn't fit and they don't want it. And many choose to manipulate the call because they want to do the call, but not on God's terms, on their own. One of the books in my library that I've shared with you that has been a tremendous help to me is Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. He talks about seven essential principles of faith for fulfilling our destiny in the Lord. I love the first four. I've paraphrased them in my own word. God goes before us, number one, by showing me that He's working in my life. Secondarily, God pursues me and invites me into a relationship with Himself based on loving obedience. And then God invites me to join Him in what He's doing now around me. And then God reveals to me how it is that I can enter in very practically to what He's doing. Did you get the flow? It's very much initiated by the Lord. He goes before me, He pursues me, He invites me to join Him, and then He reveals the next step of how in the world am I to come alongside what He's doing. But the last three are so essential. Number five, I must overcome my lack of faith with Him. You know, when I face my circumstances, my faith in God will be very evident as to what I really believe about Him. Number six, I must make major changes after God has spoken. And number seven, and this is the one we're talking about today, I enter into the fullness of my destiny in Him by holding constant to the right core values that He has invited me to embrace. Fulfilling our destiny is centered in our ability to align with the right values for the present season of our life. Let's talk about that. How do you form values in the season that you are facing right now? I take great instruction and comfort from the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Listen closely. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. Value formation is centered on three concepts. Let me give them to you. I very much relate this to what the Apostle Paul had to say there in 2 Timothy 4. Paul knew what to value in the present season of his life. Secondarily, Paul knew who to value in the present season of his life. And thirdly, Paul knew how to value others in the present season of his life. What to value, who to value, and how to value those key people. Let's talk about it, because this is the essence of values that control you and me. When we answer these questions before the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can bring our life into alignment with His destiny. So let's go through them. What should I value in the present season of my life? Paul's focus in this final season was marked by his entire Christian life values. Bring glory to God. Listen to what he says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. A drink offering was simply for the worship and honor of the Lord. The priest would pour out a cup of very strong wine on the altar of sacrifice, and the smoke would rise into the nostrils of God, bringing him pleasure. That's what Paul said was his purpose. What should he value in the present season? Loving obedience, as always, to the Father. Now, I want to share with you a major secret as to why that is easily mitigated in our lives. One of the major secrets to being able to discern what brings honor to God in the present season that we're facing is when we refuse to live in the past or the future, and instead we have learned to focus on the now. Let me simply quote Helen Molly Coate from a very famous poem that she's written. It's helped me. I hope you relate to it the way that I have. She said these words, "I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am." He paused. I waited. He continued, "When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am." I love what she put together, and I can tell you one of the easiest ways to not embrace the values that we're supposed to embrace in the season that we are in is because we easily become consumed with the past or the future, and yet the Lord will focus us on the present. What should I value in the present season of my life? Defining clearly what would bring honor to the Lord. Secondly, when you're doing value formation, we have to answer the question, who should I value in the present season of my life? That changes throughout your life and mine. Again, Paul is a great example. The very letter of 2 Timothy was written when Paul was incarcerated in the Mamertine prison in Rome. He was in chains. Women were constantly molested around him. It was a horrific atmosphere. He could hear the sounds of the Circus Maximus, where believers were being savagely slaughtered to the delight of Nero and sadistic Romans. And yet he wrote one last letter, not even knowing if Timothy would get it. Why? Because he's consumed with who he should value, and he had to try. Learning to center our lives around who matters most is vital to fulfilling our destiny. Let me share with you a story from Dr. James Dobson about learning to center our lives around who matters most. Jim talks about the day that he took Ryan to the airport, his son, when he was leaving home. He talks about the night before Ryan came into his office for a midnight talk. And that very next day, Jim and his wife Shirley took their son, Ryan, to board a plane for Chicago. That day, after he and Shirley left the airport, they drove home in silence. When Jim got home, he lost it emotionally. The silence was deafening in the home. It sure was quiet. Dr. Dobson went to Ryan's room and sat on the floor and cried. He looked over where the crib once stood and he just sat there. And he could recall the moments when Ryan was a toddler to the elementary years, to the teenage years, and now to Ryan heading off to school. His own words came back to his mind. He had recorded years prior to this event words in a famous series on the family. This is what Dr. Dobson said years prior. The day is coming when the bicycle tires would be flat, the skateboard would be warped and standing in the garage, the swing set would be still, and the beds would not be slept in. We will go through Christmas with no stockings hanging by the fireplace, and the halls will be very quiet. I know these times will soon be here, and I realize it has to be so. I accept it. I wouldn't, for anything, try to hold back our son or daughter when it comes time to let them go. But that will be also a very sad day, because the precious experience of parenting will have ended for me that day. I was also reminded when I read this quote in this story about the emphasis of Dr. Dobson when he said, "It is the illusion of permanence, you see, that distorts our perception and shapes our selfish behavior. When eternal values come in view, it becomes our greatest desire to please the Lord and influence as many others for Him as possible." Eternal values relative to the people around us. The first question to ask in value formation for this season that you're in right now: what should I value in this present season of my life? Secondarily, who should I value in the present season of my life? Let me give you the last one. How should I value my purpose before others in the present season of my life? If you'll do those three things, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will illuminate a pathway for you to follow forward with what He is doing in your life. And of course, the Apostle Paul, in his final words, put Jesus on display. Listen now, as he said, 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." We have to ask ourselves how to value my purpose in this season of my life before others. Your destiny and mine is lived out by learning to embrace the right values in whatever season that we're facing. Let me apply it very practically to us. If you're in a season of great abundance, ask those questions. What should I value? Who should I value? And how should I value my purpose before others? If you're in a season of sacrifice, ask the questions. If you're in a busy season, if you're laying a foundation for something new, if you're in the middle of that season or culminating a life that you have well lived thus far, ask those questions. If you're in a season of restoration, putting things back together, you've blown it. You've blown it to yourself and maybe even before others. And God is helping you. He is involved in this season of your life. If you're in a season of harvest, choose well the values that will guide you. So you get the point. Whatever is happening in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the way you enter into God's destiny for you right now, and He has one, no matter what in the world is going on. Remember how David, after he had committed murder, after he had committed adultery, Bathsheba was pregnant and gave birth, then the child got sick, and David valued fasting and praying for that baby as long as that baby was alive, and then the baby died, and his men around him were afraid to tell him the result. He looked at them, and he could see it on their face, and he said to them, "What has happened?" And they said, "The baby has died." And he got up, and he washed his face, and he went and ate, and he moved on with his life. Why? Because God had decided. David knew that that season was over, but there was a new season coming. So wherever you are, finish the season well. And if God gives you another season, answer the same questions. Know what to value in the present season of your life. Know who to value in the present season of your life. Know how to value others in the present season of your life. Let me close with this story from Tim Russert. Tim died June 13, 2008, at the age of 58. He collapsed from heart failure. Tim was the Washington Bureau Chief of NBC News and the managing editor and moderator of Meet the Press. While Tim was considered one of the most influential men in America, his great sense of success came when he wrote a book about his dad. Tim has been a wonderful dad himself. When his son Luke was born, he changed his lifestyle dramatically simply to be at home with him. When Tim was 54, keep in mind, he not knowing then that he would die at the age of 58. When he was 54, his son Luke entered into Boston College his freshman year. Tim knew that when he dropped him off and closed the door to his son's dorm room, that would be a major change. And right before he left his son in the dorm, he looked at him and said, "Study hard, laugh often, and keep your honor, son." Like many kids, Luke wanted a tattoo. And like many fathers, Tim pointed out the health risk and the irreversibility of a youthful decision that he may regret. About a month later, after Tim and his wife Maureen dropped their son off at Boston College, they went and got Luke and went to New York for a vacation. They attended a midnight mass. And when they came back, Luke jumped into the shower there at the hotel, and he came out of the shower with a towel wrapped around his waist. And his mother, Maureen, looked at him and hollered out to Tim in the next room, "He has a tattoo." Tim jumped out of his chair and yelled, "Luke, come in here." Luke stood there with his arms firmly locked down, refusing to show his dad the tattoo. "Let me see it." "No, let me see it, son." Luke reluctantly lifted his arm, and there were the letters TJR. Those are Tim's initials and his dad's initials. Tim Russert collapsed back into his chair, speechless, sat there and just sobbed. Luke came over and wrapped his arms around his father. Tim told his son Luke, "I'll never complain about that tattoo again." Tim was honored to be at his side in that tattoo forever. Tim, in that book about fatherhood, said, "When my life is over, I know the most important thing that I'll be judged for is what kind of father I was." I want to just repeat it again. Whatever season that you are facing, and these are the questions I have to answer in the season that I'm in right now, I need to ask the Lord to help me understand what to value right now in this season, because it may not be what I want to do. And I need to ask Him who to value in this present season of my life. And I also need to know how to value others in the present season of my life. And if we're to enter into God's destiny, embrace the values that He has put on your heart. Ask the hard questions, these questions that I've talked about. Your destiny and mine will have a great impact on the people around us. And our destiny is inseparably tied to how we allow the Lord to establish His values in the present season of our life. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. We have a number of wonderful resources there provided for you as a ministry leader. It's at paultotimothy.com.